Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Ho ho ho! Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have
Lucy Thomas
and
Brendan Levi.
In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 2023 Netflix Christmas movie, Family Switch, starring Jennifer Garner, Ed Helms, Rita Moreno, and Paul Scheer,
completely forgotten what we had watched.
In which a bickering family accidentally breaks a telescope during a lunar alignment and finds themselves in each other's bodies.
You know what also I was scared of? I was like, what if I watched the wrong movie? Like, we don't really talk about that much. I was like, holy shit. Yeah, okay. We're safe.
But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review Face Off. So on to Family Switch. We have had a really bad run with Christmas swap movies over the years, but this film seemingly has a lot going for it that many of those previous films did not, namely a budget and a cast featuring some pretty heavy hitters. So my question is, have we finally gotten a swap movie that gets us into the Christmas spirit, or is this another film to add to our pile of cinematic lumps of coal? Lucy.
The last thing on my notes that I wrote was, is the body swap genre doomed?
Is it doomed or have we just watched too much of it?
But I think if you put Jennifer Garner and Ed Helms and who's this director?
Mick G, the guy that did like the Charlie's Angels movies back in the day.
Yeah, I'm like, if you put all it, you do it, it's Christmas, all this, and it's still so bad.
Yeah.
Like, where do you go from here?
Yeah.
It really is just
bad,
like,
news for the podcast, guys, but I was disappointed.
Oh. Yeah, it's like gun to the head of Christmas, this movie. Oh,
really?
I will say plenty of positive things about, like, I think, you know, God bless Jennifer Garner and Ed Helms. They're good actors. They did their best, but this wasn't good. Okay, you guys
did
go.
They do their best? I don't know. But I could definitely say Ed Helms is not good in anything, so I wasn't expecting anything there.
Oh, wow. I mean, to me, he's kind of like a non-entity. Like, I don't hate him. I don't love him. I don't think I've ever walked out of a film going, Ed Helms was brilliant. He knocked it out
of the park.
Was he in something recently where it was serious? Maybe Jason Segel was in it or something?
He did a film with Jason Segel, but I think that was
it was like
2018.
A bit of a dramedy, maybe. I obviously haven't seen it, so I can't speak to it. But I mean, I wondered if maybe that was a chance for him to.
But you know, it's like when Auntie Donna had like a Netflix series, I was like, oh, sick. And then I heard Ed Helms was involved and I was like, oh, okay.
But he wasn't terrible in that. I think for me, this film felt like homework. And specifically because I host this podcast. And this felt to me
literal
like a
literal homework.
Yeah. It felt like a final exam. Like, please recognize all the different tropes and cliches that you've seen in every single one of the other movies you've reviewed. Like, it could have been a checklist of like, this is from that movie, this is from that movie, yeah, this is from that movie. And like, the film itself does do this like gag where when they first swap and they mention every other swap movie, like
nobody wakes up big, 13 yeah, going on 30,
yeah, yeah. I'm 17 again.
Yeah.
and I think, okay, I mean, we've seen other swap films go meta a million times over, but it just felt very like, if you're gonna do that, do something new. Do something new. Like, I don't know if it's because we've seen every iteration of this story, but it's like they didn't do anything we hadn't seen before in any way, like, the whole time. Like, I mean, it had a better budget than a lot of these films that we watched.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, if you've got the budget, you've got the actors, like, just try. Like, you don't even need to reinvent the wheel. Just make it just funny and wholesome and, like, warm and fuzzy in Christmas. Like,
yeah.
I actually wrote at one point, oh, what, so it's Christmas now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, very much...
It was a total side note.
It's completely disconnected from the fact Christmas is coming, yeah.
Okay, so this is a total tangent, but the other night, so maybe 3 nights ago, I finally got the kids to sleep, sat down, made a cup of tea, we put on Home Alone, Lost in New York, and I wrapped Christmas presents, which could truly be, like, where I am at my most happy.
Yeah.
Like, kids happy and safe and asleep and well, and, like, Christmas, Macaulay Culkin. And, I just cried in parts of it, just for no reason other than it's just so wholesome and lovely, and, like, the music in that movie is so well done. And I just actually said to Adrian, they don't make movies like this anymore. Like, I just feel like the movie that we just watched was so over the top. Like, it's so, like screaming at you the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, it just sort of assumes that everybody watching it is stupid and that kids, like, need, like, a lot of, like, bells and whistles and really stupid gags and, like, just nothing genuine for it to be successful. And I just... It was a swing and a miss.
They don't even want to waste your time with, like, setting, like, establishing who the characters are. Like, I actually put a timer to the fact that they start the movie and they're like, our family is, like, drifting apart because they used to do a yearly Christmas video and, like, the kids, like, aren't interested in it. And it's like, bam, 1 minute in, they're like, our family's falling apart and we need something to, like, bring us back together, like, you know, this Christmas. And yeah, we didn't even get to even see how they were disconnected. They were just, like, uninterested in this one task.
I totally agree. Like what you said, Lucy, I don't know if I agree that they don't make movies like that anymore. I actually went and watched.
I didn't say to Adrian, I actually didn't say they don't make movies like this anymore. I said, what are the movies that are, like, trying to make that magic? What are they? I mean, obviously, I haven't been to the cinema in like 3 years.
Yeah. So I went this week and I went and watched Wonka. And I think that's a film that you could definitely put in that case where it's not like, you know, constant fart gags and stupid, like, in-your-face yelling. And it's a very gentle, kind-hearted movie that takes its time and, like, doesn't inundate you with the needle drops that this film does, like, actually builds, like, a nice musical score and feels classic.
I love like, that. But also, like, a bloody, what do you call that, a prequel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And origin stories for Willy Wonka.
Yeah. But, well, that's...
That is promising.
I think that's the case in Hollywood. Like, if you want those kind of swings, they often come as part of, like, a bigger intellectual property. Like, an original film that's also a big swing is, like, much more rare, I feel.
We need John Hughes to save us. Like, Home Alone. I just feel like, I was so moved by Home Alone. Like, sometimes I wasn't even watching it. I was just wrapping the presents and it's just like the music and just knowing what was on the screen. I was like, it just cured me.
Yeah, I don't see, I don't see any kids growing up and being nostalgic about Family Switch. Like, it's not going to be the case.
And just don't you think, like, if this was, like, with no-name actors and no money, and you'd be like, oh, okay, let's just put it. But it's sort of like, they should be, like, demanding better. And but, also, I mean, like, it's upsetting to... You remember that movie where Leslie Mann had that horrible toilet scene?
Yes, the change up.
So how dare they do that to Jennifer Garner in this?
Ah, yes. the diarrhea scene,
And also it reminded me of, like, I used to do the singing camp every year. Spare me the American Pie jokes. You know, on the last night, they used to do, like, a big talent show and everyone sung. real original. But I got put with this group one time and it was real bad and not funny. And I did have to do like a really stupid gag for laughs. And it was just like the lowest denominator. Like, you know, that's what that felt like. It was like, she deserves so much better. Also, we need to do the plot. But I just am so mad about this movie. I was like so excited.
I'm shocked. Like, I didn't hate this film. Like, I thought... Like, it was serviceable at most. Like, it's a film, like, I walked away with, I was like, that did its job. I'll never think about it again. If I wasn't doing it on this podcast, I wouldn't think about it again. But I'm actually shocked that you guys hated it so much.
Now, 10 minutes in, Jennifer Garner was doing a overly complicated handshake with, like, one of her work colleagues. And that's when I wrote, I hate this.
Yeah, I literally, like, five lines down is, thanks, I hate it.
Oh, my God.
And it is, and it is like what you're saying, like, the whole, there's opportunity here. There is a ton of talent on the screen. There's an abundance of money. Like, that school, like, it's the stadium. It's like the size of like Australia's like MCG.
Playing a school why soccer is this game, school soccer game and there's like millions of people in the audience?
I just shot an Australian film and they could hardly afford an extra to walk a hall in a fucking hospital.
Brendan, I have to say, you know what's become like in my quote repertoire?
What?
You said about some Australian production the other day. Why are they doing this? They don't have the budget. I've been saying that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, why are they? They shouldn't be doing this.
But the thing is, this film is a gigantic hit, like number one film on Netflix. I went to visit my my sister and her family the other day. They just happened to be watching it as I was walking in, except for my niece who said, this is lame, and walked out
good
the room.
Good for you, girl. Stay true to yourself.
All right. So, yeah, let's try this 30-second plot. To be fair, I watched this over a week ago, so... most of it has left my brain. So time
lucky
in
you because it's still seared in mine. Yeah. All right. Ready, set, go.
All right, so there's family and they're falling apart and then they go to the Griffith Observatory and accidentally break a telescope while looking at the planetary alignments. And when they wake up the next morning, they've swapped into each other's bodies. So the mum's the daughter, the son's the dad, and the baby has become the dog and vice versa. They have to all do things like a soccer game, a big pitch, a college interview, etc. They all fuck it up. And then through that process, they learn to love each other. And then once they realize how tough each other's lives are and that they can understand each other, they swap back and they are happy. The end.
Guys, I stopped watching the talk.
Did I go over 30 seconds?
It was 40.
I fell asleep because it was like watching the movie again.
It was 40 seconds. Oh, well, you got one by.
Well, there you go. I think we have to acknowledge that we, a few months ago, reviewed a very similar movie that was called Family Swap.
Yes, and is there any, like, written, like, we've remade that movie or anything?
Nothing that I've read. But I was like, when this film got announced, I was convinced it would be a remake. Yeah, but watching it is quite different. And I think for the worse, I think... Family Swap did a lot more with this concept.
Wait, are we talking about the Christian one?
No, the French one.
No, the French one.
Sure, yeah.
The French one was actually interesting. The French one had edge to it.
Yeah, that little young girl that was like smoking.
Yeah,
and they were like changing all the days and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, and the son, like prostituting out his sister's body to all his friends.
Yeah, so look at these European sensibilities.
But that film, I think, you know, obviously this is a family film. We're not going to expect the, you know, all the titties and stuff from that film.
Well, but that's like French family film.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the reviews of this film and people are very up in arms about the one kind of incest scene where the mum and dad in the brother and sister's body. Well, do they? I can't even remember. Do they kiss or something?
They have to kiss for some reason. Even though they
put their faces like.
Because they're friends.
They don't
their friends
actually
like,
do
go
it.
On, kiss.
Yeah, it's like their adult friends are like, come on, kiss. Ugh.
Otherwise. I can't remember. Why was that? It's been over a week. Why was it okay for the? Why did the friends want the brother and sister to kiss?
They were like, your marriage is in trouble. Because they thought it was the mum and dad. Your marriage is in trouble. And they're like, no, it we're fine. It's like, okay. Prove it. Kiss.
You're going, okay. Like, it makes sense.
No. Because
like
in my mind, it was
adult women were like, kiss. So stupid.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. In the moment, I was like, this is so dumb. Mm. But that it does kind of. Makes sense, I guess, but not really. It's just, I don't know, the French one, it just felt more realized. It did more interesting stuff. Like in the French one, they were constantly swapping and changing, whereas this one, it was just the one static swap that stayed the same for the whole film, which was a lot less interesting. I don't know. Maybe it's because we watch so many of these things, like we demand... A bit more innovation.
I don't think that's it.
I don't even need innovation. It just needed to be wholesome and just not like, it was just like I said, it was just yelling at you the whole time. It's like, we're funny, farts, family, the dog. Yeah. Like, it's just,
yeah,
like,
you could just feel it throughout the entire edit that they like must have gone back and shot more like ADR lines, more scenes to like shove in there because they're like, this isn't working. Oh, my God, what have we done? We've wasted so much money.
And sometimes I do you think a gag reel at the end, like with credits, is
redeemable?
We need to make people laugh so that when they leave, that we sort of like trick them. Like, I love gag reels.
Did you appreciate...
Sometimes if I'm feeling sad, I will watch people breaking on SNL, like compilations of that. but... Everyone watch the Debbie Downer sketch. It will cure your seasonal affective disorder.
Did you enjoy watching Jennifer Garner be embarrassed by having to do the fart scenes in the gag room?
I was like, this woman deserves so much better.
So I can't believe this film managed to fit in a college interview, The Big Game, that also has the scout attending, a really important band practice that turns into a audition for a reality TV show about bands, and a big architecture pitch.
Yes.
Like, what family has all these fucking things
and
happening
in
on one day?
They all go so badly, but they all get through.
And like, somehow redeem. Yeah. That, like... It was almost to me like it was going to be a farce. Like when, especially after the reality TV show music battle of the bands bullshit. Like
you can't go to play Santa Claus is Coming to Town on Christmas Eve or whatever, and people lose their minds. The crowd was going wild.
And is the band Weezer?
It's Weezer.
Yeah, I wrote down, is this a band? This is familiar. Yeah, and like, what? Yeah. Why? Weezer?
but then they
win and they're going to Vegas and somehow they're making like thousands of dollars from this performance.
But also, for some reason, the architecture pitch people show up at the end of the concert to congratulate him. Like, they've left the architecture pitch and gone straight to the concert. But how do they know about the concert?
To tell her that
she had won the pitch.
Even though she seemed fucking insane and like that she had the mind of a 13-year-old. Like,
not only that, they fire the mean guy in the office right in front of her for no reason.
Yeah. Like, get HR on that for that guy.
At this point, I was thinking, oh my God, this is going to be like... He's gonna wake up. Yeah, like he crashed the car in the start, and this is like a dream sequence or something like that.
And they're about to turn up the life support. Yeah,
but it actually happened.
But I also thought, you know, like when with the kissing booth, you're like, oh, this was written by a teenager. Like, it's fine.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna ask too many questions. Like, it's fine.
Yeah,
I'm like. Adults, teams of adults, no doubt, things in this. Like, there was probably, like, a script team and all the rest. And like I said, Jennifer Garner is, like, a sweet baby angel woman. Like,
And she's, like, luminescent in this film.
Oh, my God,
like, she's so watchable.
Ben
like,
who? Like, oh, my God. But, I'm so upset.
Yeah, and you know, and you could tell they were trying to like recapture the 13 going on 30 magic. Like, let's have a choreographed dancing number. Where everyone knows the moves for
and
no
can
reason.
I can say, as someone who has done many choreographed dances in public places, people don't like it. People don't cheer and they don't join in. They don't think you're cool, and you keep doing it. But
wait,
it's
what's
not
the
good.
What's one time this has happened?
Oh,
are you a part of
birthdays?
Oh, okay. I was thinking, like, what are
Hello,
those groups?
Choir. I'm like a Glee kid, Brendan. Like, you think I haven't done like a planned, like, little flash mob? Like,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. So,
yeah.
So these have never been in like public settings, like
weddings.
Weddings? Yeah, they're like friends and stuff.
Birthdays?
Right?
Yeah. But I mean, like, people are like, oh.
I was thinking,
there's
like,
those two weird sisters
canoe.
Doing that thing again. And then, like, you can hear, like, the cutlery clicking while people are eating their meals.
But let's talk about all the ways all these events got so fucked up and they managed to recover from them. So, like, the college interview. So, he clearly does not know anything about the degree that he's trying to get into.
Yeah, that's actually the dad is actually like a straight up bad guy. Like
he's actively trying to ruin it. Like,
yeah,
like imagine being a teacher. Like you would know what to say in an interview. You would know how to fluff your way through that interview.
He's a bad dad. He's like a deadbeat. Like
yeah. And then the mum playing the soccer game. One of the opposing team gets injured and she has a clear shot at the goal and she doesn't take it so that she can help the injured player. Like, it makes no fucking sense. Just kick the goal. All she had to do was just fucking kick the ball
and then
turn around
and
help.
Yeah, and it's like, and the college scout is like, that's what we're looking for in a team. It's like, yeah, they wanted Michael Jordan to fucking, like, you know what I mean, turn around at the last second and be like, are you okay to the person he just dunked on? No.
Yeah, and like, what is that achieving? Like, there's fucking doctors, there's like coaches, there's people more qualified than another fucking teenage girl to help this injured soccer player. Like, what the fuck? That actually angered me when I watched
it. Okay, Paul's coming around. He knows
about
this.
Yeah.
And then, obviously the big pitch, like, she fucked it up in so many ways, this architect. Did you watch this with your architect's husband, Lucy?
No, I had to watch this as per usual while I was blow drying my hair. It's the only time I get to myself.
I would really, can you at some point just like load up those architecture pitch scenes to him? I would love to hear his opinion on those scenes. Because like she brings her daughter and then the daughter starts speaking for her during the speech. She has fucking explosive diarrhea. She's like insulting everyone. Like she's walking out. Like there's like, imagine you go into this person. Like, would you trust this person to build your fucking house? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And and then like, how does the son, did we establish that the son knows how to play the guitar or he just happened to start playing
They said it at the start when they were trying to make the video. They were like, come on, grab your guitar, like something.
Also, he was
like,
a genius.
Oh, I don't play anymore. And if he's such a fucking genius, and he's like talking about Elon Musk and all this shit, and like,
it, how come he was like going to go to university like
5,000 years early? Yeah. Like, rig up a fucking earpiece, do anything to help your family get through this. Like, if you're so invested in to going to Yale or wherever the fuck you're trying to get into when you're 12 years old, just do one smart thing to make it work. Like, outrageous. I'm so mad.
So, probably the one thing that all the Christmas movies we've watched, or most of them that we've watched, has featured is like a mystical Santa Claus or Mrs. Claus stand-in that causes the swap. And this film, it's played by Academy Award winning Rita Moreno. Like, history-making Rita Moreno, like, is Hollywood legend. West Side Story.
West Side Story.
Like, you know, the first Puerto Rican to ever win an Oscar for Best Actress. Like, she is a legend.
Iconic.
Why the fuck?
How dare they?
Was she here?
What was her character even? Like, you just did the 30-second plot. You didn't mention her once.
Because, like, was she? Did she have instigate anything? The swap? Did she? Or, like, because... Like, all these, like, the Christmas Switch and the Christmas That or whatever they're all called, they've all had this character that kind of, like, comes just before the switch and, like, does a little wink and, like, does that.
Oh, it's going to happen. You don't know what I'm talking about. I'm totally talking about you, about switch bodies.
You're about to find out what it's like to live as someone else. Like, you know, and I guess she does that, but it's just so vague and it's so funny or interesting, like,
and
why?
Completely irrelevant, because it's to do with a telescope looking at a bunch of planets alizing, and so a fucking Christmas laser comes through the planets and zaps
Christmas
them.
Laser. Yeah, yeah.
And I've been to that observatory in LA, and you cannot just walk up to that. You cannot just walk up and use that telescope.
Let alone break the thing.
Break the whole thing. And then there's that guy that, like, the repair guy that's just like, you realize how many, like, thousands of dollars that telescope would cost to repair.
Millions,
and no one gives a fuck. They're like, yeah, we'll fix it.
And can I also just say, we're gonna get into friend or four, I'm sure, but like, the mum, like, is holding the baby and, like, gets swung and, like, falls from a great height, and the daughter goes, this is so embarrassing. It's like, your fucking mum and baby brother nearly died. How dare you? Anyway.
Yeah, actually, that is horrifying to think about.
Yeah.
So, speaking of the baby, we haven't talked about one of the most controversial parts of this film, is that the baby swaps with a dog. And for a lot of that, a lot of what we see of the baby acting like a dog and the dog acting like a baby are, like, horrifically CGI'd baby and dogs. And they're just, like, nightmare fuel. CGI'd baby acting like a dog, I think, is the image that will, the one image that I think will stay with me from this.
Yeah, it had a real Looney Tunes, like, feel to the.
Giving it too much. I think it's giving, like, Son of the Mask. Remember Mask?
But that's what they were trying to, like, you know, it was trying to be a Looney Tunes thing, you know?
Yeah. Like, there's just something, and I think this is a mistake that Hollywood is making over and over and over again, that these kind of gags that involve an overly, like, obvious CGI'd character, they're not funny because inherently our brain doesn't associate with that thing with being real in any way.
Yeah, like Baby's Day Out. I thought that baby was going to die any second and made me laugh.
Yeah, and that's why it was funny. But like... I was seeing the trailer for the new Dua Lipa, Henry Cavill movie, Argyle, and the big gag with that is this cat that, like, is constantly in danger, and it's like a CGI cat. It's like, why are you, like, presenting this so front and center? It's a gag that doesn't work because it's not a real cat. It's not funny in any way. And I feel like this is very much in that camp. Yeah, it just, like, again, you like know your constraints.
Yeah.
Like we can't use a real baby. We can't use a real dog. Cut it out. Let's find something else to do.
But also like in Jurassic Park, like that was the first time CGI had been used and it looks great. Like just good. Like fuck yeah. off. Dinosaurs don't exist and I bought the whole thing. Like Daniel Radcliffe can't really fly on a broomstick, but like just...
Surely you can train a baby to eat out of a dog bowl.
Yeah, just put some Cocoa Pops in or something.
Yeah, yeah. There's humane ways of doing it, I am sure.
Outrageous.
I think this film falls prey to something that a lot of Christmas movies in general do when they're not... Just
failing to mention Christmas or anything until the last 10 seconds, where you're like, oh, yeah.
Well, that, but like also like knowing that there's so little Christmas in the script, they're like, well, let's just needle drop a whole bunch of Christmas songs for no reason over and over and over again. Like this will make it feel Christmassy. It's just like you have to do more. There's like a vibe to Christmas films. Like, yeah, you have to mention it more than once.
Yeah, and it's not even that hard to do. Like Christmas does it for you. But like I'm saying, that beautiful warmth in Home Alone, that fuzziness, it was not there.
Mm. Or even like films that don't necessarily have that fuzziness. Like I'm thinking like Jingle All the Way.
Mm-hmm.
That's a film that's like got a lot of nostalgia for a lot of people. And like you can't say that's a masterpiece, but it's a Christmas film. The whole plot is centered around Christmas. It uses Christmas. Getting
a toy for a kid at Christmas.
There's like centerpieces around like the Christmas pageant that he's in and like all those kind of things. It's like
Christmas shopping.
Use it.
Yeah. I mean, half the work's done for you. Like, yeah, people feel nostalgic. Like, they love Christmas. Just like cash in on that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. I think you guys have convinced me to maybe drop this by half a star at least.
Thank God.
Wait, what did you give it?
I gave it 3 stars.
Disgusting, Paul.
Very generous, yeah. I'm giving it 2. One for Jennifer Garner and 1 for Ed Helms. Like, that's... Actually, Ed Helms doesn't get one. I'm giving it to Fortune Feenster, who was in it for fucking 5 seconds.
I'm giving it a bullet.
Yeah. And Fortune Feenster was a judge on Is It Cake? And Is It Cake... Is It Cake is name dropped in this film. So
Netflix do that, have you noticed?
Yeah.
It's disgusting how
cross-pollination. But also, like, what does that mean? Like, who was Fortune Feenster on Is It Cake in the Family Switch universe?
They just let a random like civilian be a judge.
So you heard what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not. Take it away, me. Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not.
Ding.
Those were everyone jingle bells,
beautiful in their own way.
Jingle.
So let's start with some friend or foes. Emma Meyer as... Cece, the daughter.
Like I said, her mum and baby brother nearly fell to their death and she's like, this is so no. And also just the way she just was like, all that character was like, I need to eat ice cream now. Like, she seems like an insane person, so no.
Yeah. Yeah. And also like...
She regressed like this, 5 years when she went into the body of her mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also like this... one thing I forgot to mention about this family is how incredibly wealthy they are. Like the house they live in is fucking insane. Mm. They live in this like giant mansion. These kids are so privileged.
Yeah.
And they are acting like the biggest spoiled fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah.
So I am giving her a not. Like, fuck you. So by extension, Brady Noon as Wyatt, I'm also giving you a faux.
Yeah, like, I mean, I feel bad because he was getting picked on and everything, but also he was like in a Skype group or whatever with Elon Musk, who is the biggest loser in the world. It's like, if you're so smart, why don't you know that he's a fucking dummy? Then, so, no, bye.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah.
They're smart, and then there's smarts.
Lincoln Skies and Theodore Skies as baby Miles.
Oh, it's twins.
Yeah. I'm surprised they needed two of the babies, giving that like 90% of the performance CGI.
Yeah. Babies are so innocent. So I'll be their baby's friend. It needed a friend. Also, just like the parents, like the family was in major turmoil, and they're like, "We'll just leave you with like the creepy neighbor from down the road." Like,
yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah.
We won't check on you. We won't. Yeah. That baby.
Germans are always nice. You can always trust the German.
But like, they just like introduce him so that they can turf the baby. They were like, "Oh no, he wrote this baby into the script. The next door neighbor will take care of it, so we don't have to watch it."
Well, on him, Matthias Schweighofer as Rolf. Mm-hmm. I know that you're a big fan, Brendan, because you're the world's biggest Army of the Dead fan.
Yeah.
Like the Zack Snyder zombie movie that Brendan is obsessed with.
Oh,
he gave it five stars.
My favorite film.
I don't know what words are for me.
There's this terrible zombie film that Brendan actually like fucking loved for some reason that came out last year that he's in.
Yeah, because they like superimposed Tig into it. And we all love Tig, right?
Tig Nagaro?
I said Tig. Everyone knows who I'm talking about.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, hot or not?
Him. Mm. I think he's got like a charm, no? Mm-hmm.
Like, he was not very authoritative. Like, I didn't really like it. It wasn't for me.
I'm going to give him a hot just because I've had a thing for him for a long time. He was like a rom-com king of the German cinema for a long time.
Do you watch a lot of German rom-coms?
If they star him.
I've seen a few.
Yeah, it's
I've
funny because I know that you probably have.
One might get mentioned later in this episode. Spoiler alert.
So wait, you're not doing Day of the Dead?
No, because he wasn't in Day of the Dead. He was in Army of the Dead. So I'm going to give him a hot. Rita Moreno as Angelica.
Who's that?
The one we've been talking about it for so long.
The mystical lady that made them swap. I mean, it's so unfair. I mean, you have to stay hot. Is an icon, but she deserved better.
Yeah.
Nah, she wore like one of those big belly caps, and I don't care for those on ladies.
What are they?
Big belly caps.
What do you mean belly? What
do you know that it's like a bus driver cap from the 70s? I don't know.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
How old do you guys think she is?
90.
I know the answer. 90? Lucy?
80?
Wait, when was like West Side Story? Wasn't that like the 70s?
No, it was like the 60s.
The 70s, the 60s.
She's 92.
Yeah. Wow. She's doing pretty good.
She's pretty good.
Recall my distaste for the hat.
Respect your elders.
Yeah. Like, fucking... For a 92-year-old woman, she's keeping it together. Mm. I'm definitely giving her a hot.
Yeah.
I got asked at work
the other day, what's like the oldest person in Hollywood that you would like have sex with? Oh my
God. What was your answer?
Sorry?
What was your answer?
Steven Seagal. I don't know.
What? All right. Paul Scheer as Steven.
Why are we rating Paul Scheer?
Who's that?
So he was the mean guy at the office that got fired.
Oh, he was mean. And he always plays such a weasel. So
yeah, but he's like so good at it. And he's so funny.
Yeah, like I felt bad that he was in this film. And he did say, because he hosts How Did This Get Made? And he read out one of my letters the other week, and he said he was going to listen to our show. So maybe when he sees this pop up, he'll listen. So I'm going to give him a hot.
Jesus Christ. You can't Kevin Bacon 6 degrees. You have to delete the whole episode now.
No.
He knows what he was part of. Hot in normal life. Completely. He is really funny, but he was such a mean character.
What do you mean? He was like making fun of Jennifer Garner's giant nose. Was the character?
I hate when they do that. If you're going to call out like something about another character, make it something that is actually true.
Yeah, like, she's got like the tiniest button nose. And it's like, oh, yeah, look at this huge schnoz lady.
Yeah.
The same with her having a big ass. It's like, girl,
Yeah, like Jennifer Garner is a very tall.
Yeah.
She's a very tall lady, which is hot, but maybe
what would be the mean comment her out for being a giant or something.
Oh, that was so funny. That was like when the 40-year-old virgin says a boob feels like a bag of sand. You're like, she's very tall, which is hot. Boy, do you know what men want when it comes to women. That's amazing.
I had this tall German guy come into work looking for like a job, and I'm a tall person myself, so I'm just not used to it. But I had to like extend my head all the way back to look at this man. I felt tiny. I felt like a child again.
Yeah, I'm like a taller girl. Like I'm not even that tall, I guess. But I always thought that men wanted like petite women that they could pick up and not look like directly in the eye.
I see the Amazon appeal.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, like, as a gay man, I enjoy a tall man.
Amazon, yeah.
All right, so let's get into the meat and potatoes here. Ed Helms as Bill, hot or not?
I wrote down Ed Helms hair plugs. Discuss.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that, actually. Oh,
come on. There's something weird going on.
I was too busy trying to figure out if Maroon 5 would be better or worse with him in it.
Oh, yeah, that was a gag. They were better. Maroon 6 better, until he
really,
left.
And that's a really something logical statement. Yeah.
Okay.
How are they the most famous band in the world?
I hope, remember when I they did the Super Bowl and they did nothing and Beyonce like shot her best friends out of a cannon and danced for the entire time and the other guy's like, I took my shirt off. It's like, boo. Bring out Ed Helms.
Okay, I'm just looking at a screenshot and Ed Helms of Ed Helms in Family Switch and it hair does plug? Look like a wig.
Yeah.
It does look like a wig.
Something weird for sure.
Yeah.
He also got the veneers. Like in between seasons of The Office. I don't really need to. He's a funny guy. Like, good thing. This film just made me so angry.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a not. Like, just his character was pretty abhorrent and unlikable. Yeah, and stupid.
Bad dad. And also, like, now he's going to Vegas. What? He's going to leave his family.
To join the Weezer Christmas band, yeah.
Actually, that sounds great. The Weezer Christmas band. I put that on for show.
All right, and let's end on a positive note with our baby angel, Jennifer Garner.
She is like a fine wine. How does she still look like that?
Is it the
she looks exactly the same. Film we've done? Second, I think.
No, 13 going on 30, Mr. Fuzzy Pants, and this one.
God, oh, Mr. Fuzzy Pants. Yes. Oh, we're triple hotting her. How good. That's so nice. Yeah. I'm glad that we can bestow that honor on her. Because she deserves Christmas it. Hope. Yeah. And I also hope she stops making swap movies. Because it's done. It's fucking done.
I feel like she might be doing things Christmas like, movies, I'm going to make movies for my kids that my kids can see. Like,
yeah. You know? But I mean, yeah, but that like
ruined Eddie Murphy, you know? Like.
And but the thing is, I haven't seen Yesterday.
When you have 12 children, I guess. Yeah.
I haven't seen Yesterday, so I can't comment on that one. But that Alexander and the Horrible Very Bad Day was actually super cute. And that was like a wholesome family movie. Like she has dipped her toe into this genre and come out with something good.
Mm.
And I feel like she's trying to recreate that over and over again and it just hasn't worked again. So
I can imagine you're a busy mom and you see who's like tied to this car, like to this project, and you're like, yeah, all right. Like, don't show me this. I don't have time to read the script.
Yeah, like, it couldn't be bad,
but
right?
I trust like, my agent who makes me lots of money and look who's involved. All right, put me down.
I mean, sure, maybe they put that foot wrong with Mr. Fuzzy Pants, but this will be different.
Oh, yeah, because they had, like, Christopher Walken. Who else did it, wasn't it?
Kevin Spacey. Nothing bad can happen with Kevin Spacey. Now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of Family Switch from across the interwebs. So the first one is from Adam, who gives it 4.5 stars. And he says, the CGI baby was worse than fucking Twilight.
Oh, yeah.
I still yet to watch Twilight, guys.
But you've seen the baby, right?
Do you know what they're referring to?
I've seen the baby.
Renesmee, whatever the fuck its name was. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they should do like a buddy film with this baby and that one.
I don't know which one's creepier. The demon baby in like The Passion of the Christ or the baby from Twilight. We should do a comparison on the socials.
They should do like an Expendables with all these like fucked up babies, like the doll from American Sniper that Bradley Cooper's pretending to be real. Have you seen
that? No, that
sounds bad. What?
Yeah, like they've actually just got like a baby's doll of a baby, like, and it's so obviously a plastic baby, and just the image of like buff Bradley Cooper like rocking this baby to sleep is quite. Google it. It's very good. All right. Jade Talks Too Much gives it 5 stars. And they say, not just a crappy Netflix movie, but a crappy Netflix Christmas movie. Surprise. This is so cute and cheesy. Fun to see Jennifer Garner once again play a teen stuck in an adult's body. What a strange thing to have a talent for. 5 stars because it's Christmas.
But that begs the question as well of like, well, if they reference 13 going on 30 and that's her, like, is that Jennifer Garner playing herself in this movie? Like, what?
Well, I think the gag was that none of them realized they were talking about actual titles. So they weren't referring to the films. They just happened to be saying the titles of them.
To my stomach. if that's the joke that they were trying to achieve, I feel ill.
Nicole gives it 2.5 and she says, I thought I was going to be safe from subtle incest. I was wrong. We all did. Evil Styles gives it 0.5 star and they say, Cece, I'd rather drink my own vomit. Me, after watching this movie, I would have said the same thing.
Who's Cece?
The girl, because she says that in the film. She says, I'd rather eat my own vomit.
Gotcha. Is she like someone's like daughter?
Like a Nepo baby? I don't think she is actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think she did a bad job. Like,
yeah, I thought she was actually pretty good.
She's a good actress, but she was in an awful film.
Emma Myers. So she's not Mike Myers'
daughter? No. Not that I know of.
I'm Googling.
And finally, Abs gives it 2.5 stars. And they say, I wonder if when he gets older, the baby will remember the fact that he switched bodies with a dog for a few days. How does he feel about that?
Person was stoned when they watched this movie and wrote this review. They were like, dog, man. Yeah.
Like, dog, yeah, the baby seemed to be, like, very, like, reserved, and it was sitting on the potty and stuff like that, whereas, like, yeah, the dog was, yeah.
I guess if you're a baby, you have no concept of what is normal. So it's like, okay, I've swapped bodies with a dog, I guess this is something that happens.
I mean, I don't even think babies have, like, a sense of themselves. Like,
I think you lose, isn't it like 4 years before you start to develop memories? So like they won't even remember this. They'll be told about it by their like siblings and they'll be like, yeah, whatever.
They'll be like, you're insane.
No, yeah. Seriously, you are a dog. Mom, they're telling me I'm as a dog.
Yeah, as a parent, like, would you ever mention it again? I don't think you would.
Oh, like, that's a real can of worms.
This family is way too chill about all of this, really. Like, they're not, you know, questioning existence in any way after this fucked up shit has happened to them.
Yeah. Do you think if they didn't swap, the parents would have stayed together?
Dog.
Like, how do you like, because you look like my daughter. Like, that's messed up. Like, how do we continue a relationship? Let alone, like, the, like, logistics of going out in public.
Yeah. Nah.
Merry Christmas, Jesus, everybody.
You bastard.
All right.
They let's never get stop to think to ask if they should.
All right, let's get to tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you ever want to see a list of the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website.
I think people should play a drinking game when they look at Brendan's list and they have to guess how they're connected. How it was, and if you can't guess, then you have to drink. So you're going to get real fucked up. Because if you play it the other way, you'll be sober as a judge.
If you,
I feel like I'm going to disappoint everyone.
If you do play this game at home, please film yourself and send it to us.
All right, Brendan, Paul, just even you and I should do that. We don't really drink, so.
No, we'll do it with, like,
lollies,
lemonade. So, I am going to start us. I am going to link this film with the German actor that played the neighbor that they give the baby to, Matthias Schweighofer. And as I mentioned earlier in the episode, he was like the king of German rom-coms back in the day. So I am going to recommend a film that he actually starred in, but also wrote and directed. And it's a film that I happened to watch on a plane randomly because I like the look of the poster. And I'm glad I did. I thought it was fun. And it's a film called Vaterfreuden, which it translates to The Joy of Fatherhood. Mm-hmm. So he plays a character called Felix in the film, who his brother comes to live with him, and the brother reveals to him that he's making heaps of money donating his sperm to sperm banks and suggests that he does the same. So Felix is a very, like, carefree guy, and he never wants to have settle down, and he never wants to have kids. And he decides to donate his sperm. And then the next day he's hooking up with this girl, and the girl's ferret gets on the loose and bites his balls.
Yeah.
And he goes to the doctor, and the ferret bite has made him sterile. So he'll never be able to, you know, have kids after that. So then he's like, well, I've donated this sperm. I'll go to the sperm bank and get it back. And that way
a refund.
I'll have the option to use this to have babies if I ever want to. But he finds out that a girl had taken his sperm, like, immediately. So he tracks her down, and he decides to, like, romance her so that, you know, he can have a wife and kids because she's pregnant.
Carry his sperm.
Yeah. But she has, like, a boyfriend already, and hilarity ensues. So did that plot entice you guys at all, or were you like, that sounds fucking awful?
Well, it's like a bit creepy that he was able to get her details and then track her down and try to win her over because it's so important.
And break up a relationship?
Yeah, because it's so important that it's his seed, you know? Like,
yeah.
The patriarchy ruins the party again.
But he learns these life lessons, guys.
At the expense of everyone else. Great.
All I'm thinking of is, you know that movie where
Comedy Ensues.
Jennifer Lopez gets artificially inseminated and then meets the guy of her dreams like that day. Thinking of that movie now.
I don't remember that. Who was the guy of her dreams?
I can't remember. You know the way every Jennifer Lopez movie, and like bless her, obviously, she is mother, you know, except for Hustlers. Every movie seems like this effort to like humanize her or like make her not seem like a diva. Like every movie she plays kind of like a bit of a hippie or a bit earthy or a bit of like made in Manhattan, like somebody that works really hard, blue collar. Like it's very odd. I'm talking about this. I don't know why.
Anyway, Wouter Freuden.
Jennifer Lopez's movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my recommendation.
I can't believe you actually had already watched that. That's insane.
What's yours, Lucy?
Okay, so this movie was called The Family Switch.
It was called Family Switch.
Family Switch. And it was a Christmas movie. So I'm doing The Family Stone, which is also a Christmas movie. And it's a similar title.
Oh, my God. That movie made me cry so fucking much.
Same here.
I was a mess.
Same here. I went in not really expecting that at all. I was like, this will be fun. Mm. Like me, my mum and my sister went and saw it at the cinema together. It's like, let's go and see a movie about, you know, like a family at Christmas or whatever. And it was like, we were all just like a blubbering mess. Such good cast, like Sarah Jessica Parker, Diane Keaton, Rachel McAdams. Who else? There's another one in there.
Luke Wilson.
Yeah. And it's a really...
Claire Danes?
Yeah, Claire Danes. That was the one I was thinking of. And yeah, who's the other male in it?
Dermot Mulroney.
What do you call it? A bow swap. Just a great dramedy. Is that what you call it?
Yeah. You know, there's certain movies or TV shows that you just like, I don't know, it probably isn't the case for Brendan. Maybe it is, I don't know. But like there's certain movies and TV shows that just thinking about them makes me teary again, like because I cried so much while I was watching them.
Yeah.
Like the finale of Dawson's Creek and this.
Okay, I would not put those in the same category, but sure.
I have never cried at anything more. Oh, sorry. The two things I've cried at the most out of anything I've ever watched, the finale of Dawson's Creek and It's a Sin. Those are the two things I've cried more than anything else.
It's a Sin. Yes. Oh, my God. That's probably the TV show I've cried the most in as well. Yeah. But the movies that I've cried the most in are Eighth Grade.
Okay, yeah.
And Room.
Yeah.
I've never been in public crying so much. I was embarrassed. It was audible in the cinema.
Do you remember that film, 28 Grams with...
Sandra Bullock?
No. That's 28 Days Later. 28 Grams with...
No, 28 Days Later is the horror movie.
That's the zombie. Oh, yeah, sorry. 28 Days is the Sandra Bullock one.
Wow, 28 Days Later. Wow, we need to get some new numbers going in this mix,
I'm pretty sure it was 28 Grams.
I thought of a new podcast idea, guys. It's where you have to, watch movies that are all closely linked like that.
Anyway, at the end of 28 Grams, the guy that was sitting next to me was, crying so heavily. I still remember this. And his friends were like, are you okay? Are you okay? He's like, yeah.
Anyway. 28 Grams about drug addicts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he had addiction in his family or his own life. That's very surreal kind of worms. Family Stone. Watch it with a spotter because you will cry and you don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
I just want to say I've cried in movies as well.
We'll get to that empathy in a minute. But
name them right now.
Yeah, do it.
Is it embarrassing?
Shawshank Redemption. That's
I think you guys would be very angry if I mention one of them.
The Notebook.
I never watched The Notebook.
That's our podcast. Is Brendan watches The Notebook?
I cried in The Notebook for sure. That was another big cry for me.
I was like dry as a bone. I was like, is this finished yet? And I cry Brendan, in everything.
Brendan, what tell you have to tell us, what was the movie you cried in?
Manchester by the Sea.
Why is that funny?
Because it's got Casey Affleck in it, and I thought he'd be like, you piece of shit.
No, well, yeah, but like, it's still, like, it is still a great movie, though. And Michelle Williams is like, see, Michelle Williams, you put her in something and she'll make you cry. Dawson's Creek finale, Manchester by the Sea. We all know which one she should have truly won the Oscar for. All right, Brendan, what's your recommendation?
Manchester by the Sea. No. I'm tired, so I was very unimaginative with my Pete Holmes was in it, and it reminded me of a TV series that he like.
Okay, can we just stop you? Do you mean Ed Helms?
No, Pete Holmes.
Who's that?
He is a comedian who is the
The guy like with shaved hairs.
No, he was like the head of the like advisory board who was doing the interview for his
The college.
The college,
admissions.
Okay. Yeah. I thought, isn't Pete Holmes, or isn't there a name that's like that, somebody that's fully been cancelled? Anyway, we'll come back to it. I'll try and think of it. Keep going.
It's Hollywood, baby. And he did a show called Crashing. Crashing is about Pete Holmes plays it sort of himself as this guy who's, wife cheats on him, and he's been like doing like comedy in New York on the side, and so when his wife cheats on him, he crashes on the couch of Artie Lang, who is a comedian that people might know from Norm Macdonald. Like they did a lot of films together. Anyway, the whole premise of the series is that he crashes on the couches of all these like New York comedians like Sarah Silverman and other people. Anyway, it's a really funny series. It's developing his career as a stand-up, but also having a lot of issues with the fact that he was like very Christian, and then unraveling his marriage, but also this sort of space which is very adult and not Christian, and just relating that back to who he is and his identity as a religious person and also as a stand-up comedian. And yeah, it's really interesting, and like I said, written by Pete Holmes and Judd Apatow, and it's really sweet, so recommend.
There you go.
Yeah, is that on Netflix or
it was like a HBO series, so probably on Binge.
Oh, cool. All right, that sounds like something I'd actually enjoy. So,
yeah.
Good recommendation. So if you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every body swap film we have reviewed on the podcast. So my question is, where are we going to put Family Switch on our lists?
Yeah, I'm putting this below Jack Frost.
Yes, that's, I completely understand.
Yeah.
So where is that on your list, Lucy?
Oh, well, scroll down, obviously, but
probably number 30. It's in between Jack Frost and 14 Going on 30.
Wow. I mean, 14 Going on 30 was great, but
I should put it below that, but I just am going to make a point that I think the last Christmas one we watched, this was worse than that. And the Jack Frost was not good.
I am going to put it below Brave and above Surrogates. I think, oh, actually, no, that's very high. Sorry, scratch that. I can't believe I put Surrogates that high. What the fuck?
I think what you mean is I can't believe there's so much shit that Surrogates would raise to the top.
Okay.
Yeah, how is My Brother the Pig lower than Surrogates?
Yeah. I'm going to put it in between Ice Angel, a.k.a. On Thin Ice, Skating for the Gold, and Heaven Can Wait. It definitely wasn't as boring as Heaven Can Wait. So.
Yeah, that was so boring.
Yeah. So I'm pretty happy with that.
I'm pretty angry at this movie. I really wanted to sit down and enjoy just some Christmas feelings. Yeah, I was an open book. I was very ready to receive and it just shat in my mouth. And I think this movie is garbage. It's everything wrong with what Christmas is now. It feels like hollow commercial bullshit, and I'm putting it number zero. I mean,
bottom of the list.
Bottom of the list, yeah. Worse than Mother's Day. I was really angry, and I think it's ruined this Christmas for me. So,
oh, I thought I was mad.
That's crazy.
A lot of my notes are, I hate this.
That, like, you do remember how bad some of these films we watched were, right? Yeah. You do remember, right? Yeah.
And, like, the tip of the iceberg is the coach on Christmas Day just rocking up.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, and you got the big game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was hot, though. I forgot to mention in Hot or Not that the
coach was hot.
He was hot. But also, like, the bottom of your list, Brendan, like, the worst film on your list currently is Mama's Boy. Oh, Christmas Trade. Like, Christmas Trade was terrible.
Can I just say this is a thing. You expect more. You hold them to a higher standard. So the harder they come, the harder they fall. Like,
you're rating it on a curve. Yeah, no, I get it.
It's shit. I hate it. You just
really hated it, yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Well, there you go. I really didn't expect this guy. All right. So, can we turn it around next episode?
Doubt it.
So, I think we might be able to. I think the next one we're going to do is fun. Like, well, it looks like it's going to be fun. I haven't watched it yet. But we're going to go back to what we originally said we were going to do as our next episode, which is the 2000 tween comedy 17 Again. Now, as a reminder, for anyone who wants to watch it before we do the episode, this is not the Zac Efron 17 Again.
17 Again Again. Yeah.
This is 17 Again, where the word 17, like the letters, spell out 17, not the numbers.
Huge difference, guys.
Yes. This is the one that stars the two identical twins.
We'll be spelling everything with letters.
So this is the 2017 Again.
Sorry, it's 2017.
No. The film is called 17 Again.
2017 spelled in letters.
It's the movie 17 Again. It was released in the year 2000. And lucky for everyone, it's available to watch for free on YouTube. So you can all play along.
Always a great sign, guys.
That's when you know it's good.
And it was released in 2017 again.
Good time.
I was gonna mention one of the other films that we watched for free on YouTube, which was Love on a Leash, and then I remembered that Lucy missed out on that one, and I really need you to watch Love on a Leash, Lucy. Like, it's on YouTube, like, while blow drying your
precious
hair.
We should do a Patreon, and then we can have, like,
so if we do the Patreon, so Brendan has to watch The Notebook and, like, live tweet it, like, live reaction. I have to do that, and then Paul has to do Twilight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the most nonsensical Patreon. It's like, why is anyone paying for this?
Hell, I'll do it for free. Yeah.
All right. So, look forward to that one. So, until next time, don't be a piece of shit on the ground, DPW, and review us on iTunes or Spotify. That would be a really nice Christmas present for us, guys. It's Christmas. So,
to redeem the fact that this movie ruined our Christmas.
And we've actually gotten some Spotify reviews finally. So, we're actually a 5-star podcast on Spotify now, which is lovely. So thank you for
Christmas
that.
Christmas miracle.
And we're now in the mid-70s for, like, we're closer to that face-off goal. So we're getting there. We're getting there. And also, thank you for everyone that sent their like Spotify rap stats to us. It's so lovely to see that we're like actually like
on their top rated. Yeah, recaps. Yeah.
That's madness.
Yeah. And there's like people that have listened to us like an insane amount of hours. So like yeah, please share if you've got those stats.
That is insane. That's just crazy.
Yeah.
You guys want to know what was in my top five song?
Yes.
Jiggle Jiggle by Louis Theroux.
Okay.
That's released.
What?
That's been released.
Yeah.
By who?
It has like a billion listens on. It's got a video clip.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Mine are all just like gay shit. It's like can't even know.
No surprises again. There. Yeah.
Troye Sivan. It's like so generic. All right. Well, I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
Now is Brendan Levi.
See you later. Bye. Bye.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Ding dong, ding ding.
Christmas time.
What's the hot color of in the
ding dong? Now I wanted to do the. Is it like Peanuts Christmas where it's like kids going Christmas? No, okay.
Christmas time is here again. Is anyone still listening? This is quality content.
The Swellcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Too Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.